And kids, sorry. There we go. All right. Sorry about that. Man, still getting some feedback there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles this evening. And kids, through 4 years old, if they'd like to go back, head on back there now. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles this evening. Hope you've had a good day today. It's been a wonderful time. Went out with Mr. Eddie and Miss Janice. Had a great time of fellowship with them. And just been a wonderful week. Hasn't been good. Brother Dwayne's still getting the feedback here. But, man, thank the Lord for what he's doing. And it's good to see you here tonight in the house of God. Be praying about, church, let me just mention one thing. Be praying about this coming up August. When we're really praying about launching the kids program for the fall. And I believe around here school starts at the beginning of August. And so we're going to start right when the schools start back up. And be praying that God would just give me perfect peace about the schedule for it and what we're going to do with it. And we're going to be having a couple meetings coming up here probably in the next couple weeks just to discuss the game plan. But be praying about that for our kids program and coming up here in the fall, that God would just give us clear direction on his will for that. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles. Notice in verse number 18. For those of you visiting tonight, we've been going verse by verse through the book of 1 Timothy. And Paul, of course, is addressing Timothy, his young apprentice in the faith. And Paul says in verse number 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Father, please use your word tonight in our hearts. Challenge us. Convict us. Lord, we need some help for this coming week. Lord, we need you to really challenge us. We need you to show us some things we need to change in our life. And I pray that as we dive into this message, Lord, that we would be busy about the task that you've called us to. Lord, help me as I preach. May I convey your truth. And may your people biblically respond in Jesus' name. Amen. It was 10 years ago I was... had just graduated from Bible college and I had moved up to Connecticut and I just launched full-time into evangelism. I had just gotten started and my brother called me up and we started to talk about being ordained to the gospel ministry. I don't know if you've ever been to an ordination service, but it really is an amazing thing. I really love it and really I loved my ordination because it was really simple. And when an ordination service takes place, what you do is the one being ordained sits down and really writes out their doctrinal statement. Here's what I believe. Here's why I believe it. Not based upon my opinions or feelings, but based upon the Word of God. And every line that you put in there, it needs to be backed up with the Word of God. And I remember just, you know, pulling up my computer and I began to dive into that, began to work on that doctrinal statement. And then we sent it out to all the different pastors and evangelists and missionaries that were going to be on the ordination council. And that day finally came. Of course, it was easy. My wife made a bunch of good desserts, carrot cake and all that good stuff. And so we bribed those that were grilling us. And my brother at the time was a pastor. I was an evangelist. And so together, we got up on the platform, and these godly men began to question us. Where do you stand on the issue of salvation? You know, and we had to defend what salvation was according to the Word of God. Where do you stand on the issue of the blood atonement? Where do you stand on the issue of the Word of God? What Bible do you use? What do you think about being a Baptist? What do you think about, down the list. Had to defend why we believe what we believe. It was really awesome. If I got stumped on a question, I'd be like, well, I'm an evangelist. That's a pastor's issue. So I turned to my brother, and he did that to me. We had a great time with that. But I remember when we got done with that ordination service, all the men gathered together, and in agreement, they said, "We believe that Barney and Stephen Schwenke are fit candidates to preach the Word of God." And they laid their hands on us, and we had an ordination service. And they recommended to the church, Central Baptist Church, that they commission us and license us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that Wednesday night service, we had that commissioning service. Central Baptist Church commissioned us. They sent us out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what has taken place here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 18. This is Timothy's commissioning letter. We understand that Timothy was from the church in Lystra and Derbe. That was the church that recommended that Timothy start traveling with Paul, and together they traveled together. But this was kind of Paul's letter to Timothy, reminding him of the commission that he had received and the call of God upon his life. I was flying through O'Hare International Airport back in May. When I was up there in Erie preaching, flew through Chicago, and man, it was awesome. As I was waiting there through the security line, there was probably 100, maybe 200 Marines that had their uniforms on, and they had just been commissioned into the into the Marines, or maybe it was the Navy, one of those up there in the Chicago. I forget which one it was, but there they were. They were going through the security checkpoint. They were getting on their plane, and they were flying out to that destination where they were supposed to be for their service and for their duty. Let me say tonight, child of God, does it not matter what your background may be? Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how many Bible verses you know. If you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, you have been commissioned into the service of Jesus Christ. God has called you, and God has placed you to do something for Almighty God. Unfortunately, though, in many lives, many Christians will come to church for a Sunday evening service, and they'll sit under the preaching of the Word of God, and yet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they fail to be the ambassadors that God has called them to be. Listen, the reason I'm preaching to you is to give you some tools to use for God's glory and honor as you're out trying to make a difference for Christ at your workplace tomorrow, with your family tomorrow, with your friends throughout the week. God has commissioned you, and He's commissioned me to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And so as Paul was writing to Timothy, what did he say here in verse 18? He said, Timothy, notice first of all the charge for Timothy. He said, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I remember when I got ordained, there was an old preacher by the name of Jack Green. How many of you have ever heard of Oliver B. Green? Any of you know Oliver B. But Tim, you know, anybody else know of Oliver B. Green? Hey, what's wrong with you guys? Oliver B. Green has a radio program on their local radio station, just an old-time Bible preacher, I believe from Tennessee. Oliver, great, great preacher, wrote some tremendous commentaries. But Jack Green was his brother, 94 years old when he prayed over me. I'll never forget it, man. He laid his hands upon me, and met some of the deacons from the church, and Pastor Cole was there, and they prayed over me, and they asked God to use me. Let me say, Paul is writing to Timothy, and I'd love to have Paul, pray over me. I'd love for that to be my commissioning service. Apostle Paul writing to me. But Paul says, Timothy, this charge, what was the charge that he was giving him? Look back in verse number 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What was Timothy's commission? He was placed there at Ephesus. Timothy, you are the pastor here. Your job is to preach the Word of God. Your job is to feed the flock. Your job is to help edify and encourage those in the faith to go on in their walk with God. All right, so Timothy, that commissioning there in Ephesus, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. I notice in the charge the importance of the charge. The word charge is a military term that means to be passed through the ranks from a superior officer. Think about in those days. Think about the job of a heralder. The heralder would go out in the street corner, and that heralder would lift up that voice, and they would proclaim that message of, thus saith the king. So is the case with a charge. The king would give a decree, or a military man would give a decree, and it'd go down to the subordinates, and down to the next guy, and down to the next guy, and finally to the low guy on the totem pole. Timothy says, listen, or Paul says, Timothy, the charge that I'm giving you, it's not the commission from Rome that's telling me for you to do this. It's from Almighty God. What does God expect from from you. God expects you to faithfully herald forth the message of the Savior. He expects you to go out. He expects you to be busy in the work of the ministry. He's not looking for you to sit on the sidelines. He's not looking for you to play tiddlywinks and sing woe is me, but no, he's looking for you to be hammered down, gas pedal down. We're going forward for God, heeding the charge of God for our life. We've all been commissioned to do something for God. Timothy is solemnly reminded that the minister is not a matter to be trifled with, but an order from the commander-in-chief. We have a command from Almighty God to be faithful in the charge that he has given to us. There was the charge. He said, this charge I commit unto thee. That word commit is the illustration of making a deposit in the bank. I think nowadays, man, nobody goes to the bank. But remember back in the old days when you went to the bank and got a lollipop? I'm talking about the old days, right? Now you just take a picture of your check and you're good to go. Or you go through the drive-thru and you make Brother Eddie's work a mess. And you put coins in there. And by the way, if you do that, just put like 3/4 in there to keep Brother Eddie employed, all right? Because he fixes those ATMs. But I think, remember back in the old days, you know, you did a paper out and they paid you. And you had, you know, your sock full of money. And boy, you knew exactly how much was in there. And so you went down to Citizens Bank, or you went to, you know, the Boston Bank, or you went to the regional bank or whatever it was, and you gave them that sock. What would they do? They would count the money. They would write that deposit slip. And they would take that money and they would put it into your bank account. What were we doing as individuals giving them our money? We were committing our money to their trust. Hey, that's what God's done with us in our lives. God has given us a responsibility. God has given us a commission. He has entrusted us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about the other illustration of it being a commitment is being entrusted to watch somebody's kids. I thank God for Miss Janice. Thursday night we asked her to watch our kids. And boy, what a big responsibility, Miss Janice. And we entrusted you with our kids. You know, if Josiah decided he was going to go climb the telephone pole, Miss Janice said no because she realized that she was responsible for our kids. Lily said, you know what? I want to go play with Mama's makeup and, you know, paint my face with all the different fingernail paints. Well, that would have been Lila Joy. But Miss Janice would say no. Why? Because she has been commissioned and entrusted with our kids. It was her responsibility while we were away to keep an eye on them. So is the case in my life. God has entrusted me, not with individuals, though he's entrusted me with my kids, not just with the church, but God has entrusted me with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I ask you tonight, child of God, are you a good steward of what God has given you? There was the charge. There was the importance of the charge. But notice as he goes on, the impact of the charge. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Notice the impact of the charge. This was a charge that came from a personal impact in Timothy's life. Notice the phrase he said, son Timothy. You know, I don't go around calling a lot of people son. In fact, the only top person I call son is my son, you know. Why would I call Josiah my son? Because he's mine. Because he's my son. He's part of my family. Timothy and Paul were near and dear. Man, Timothy was serving the Lord there in Lystra and Derbe. Paul came by preaching the gospel. The leaders there at Lystra and Derbe said, we've watched Timothy all these years. He's faithfully served the Lord. And we believe that Timothy needs to travel with you. And together, Paul and Timothy yoked up together. They went forward preaching the gospel. And during that time, there was this relationship and bond that was built. And there was that trust. And when Paul, writing to Timothy, said, Timothy, I want you to know, you're just not a co-worker. You're just not somebody that's a neighbor. You're just not somebody that's pastoring another church down the road. Hey, Timothy, you are my son in the faith. There was a love and there was a relationship. Paul made an impact in Timothy's life. Hey, can I ask you this evening, who are you impacting with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We ought to be impacting people regarding salvation. Can I ask you, who are you praying for to be saved? I wonder, is there a prayer list that you have that I'm praying for these individuals to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are you impacting with the gospel of Christ? Let me ask you, who are you impacting with discipleship, with sanctification, encouraging them to go on in their walk with God? You know, discipleship is not necessarily sitting down A through Z in your walk with God, though I do that on occasion. Discipleship is, hey, let's go grab a Coke and let's go get a donut at Dunkin' Donuts. Let's just talk and let me encourage you to go a step further in your walk with Jesus Christ. We all ought to be influencing and discipling others. I was watching this afternoon Pastor Skelly, our pastor up in Pennsylvania. Today was his last Sunday. and been used of God for 20 years up there at Harvest Baptist Church in Natrona Heights. Great church. And this was a final service there. And you know, as I was watching that, when he came to our church, there was 100 people about. And now he's leaving a church that has 1,400 in on the roll, consistently averaging 850, 900 on a Sunday morning. And you know, I think about the impact that Pastor Skelly's made on Western Pennsylvania. I think about the impact one day when, you know, 20 years from now, we'll be able to look and say, this is the impact that we have made for God here on Huntsville, Alabama. And it's just not the impact for salvation, but it's the impact of taking folks and teaching them the Word of God. Who are we influencing regarding their sanctification? Not only that, but there was also the impact for service. Hey, Paul told Timothy, I'm writing to you because you're in for the work of the ministry. We ought to be encouraging others in the work of the ministry. I just put this as a little side note. A pastor should work himself out of a job. You realize that, church? You know what my job is? My job is to help you and prepare you for the work of the ministry. You know what that means? Hey, God's raising up some men here in this church that will one day stand in the pulpit. I believe it's the job of the local church to raise up the next preacher for this area. I just believe that. I know when you guys called us, man, we were up serving the Lord in Alabama or in Pennsylvania, traveling all over the world. But I believe it's the job of the local church to say, hey, we're going to train, we're going to preach, we're going to disciple. And I understand it doesn't happen in every church, but you know what? I'm praying that God would raise up the next preacher 40 years from now when I retire, all right? Or probably never retire, but you know, 40 years from now, I'm praying for that next preacher. I'm praying that God would raise up some spiritual leaders in here that will one day be Sunday school teachers and deacons and go on and start more churches. Hey, that is the job of a pastor. It's not to get up and be a big name preacher and get your picture in some periodical and be the keynote speaker. Look at all I've done. No, my job is to preach the word, to encourage you to go on in your walk with God, and to be focused and feed the flock of God which is among you, and do what God's called us to do. Paul and Timothy, Timothy was impacted by Paul because Paul spent that time impacting him for the gospel of Christ. It says in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, your job is to impact others. And so we see the charge. Timothy, you've been instructed to heed the charge. There was the importance of the charge, the impact of the charge. But notice thirdly the instruction of the charge here in verse 18. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare. What was the charge that went before him? Look over in chapter number 4 and verse 14. Paul said this, and he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. You understand that Timothy was given the instruction of God to preach the word of God, to be faithfully serving God. Hey, good to see you guys. Come on in, make yourself at home. But we're in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. But you know, it's amazing. Paul said, Timothy, the prophecy which went before thee. What was that prophecy? What was that responsibility, Timothy? It was simply, hey, do the work that God's called you to do. Let me just say this evening, Christian. The gifts and the responsibilities that we have, God's not going to ask you to do something he's not equipped you for. Everything God asks you to do, he's equipped you. He's given you the tools. And I put this down. It says, Timothy was using his gifts in Lystra and Derbe, and Paul wanted him to continue being used of God, to continue using those gifts for God. Gifts are always revealed in service. Don't sit around waiting for your gifts to be revealed to you. Get busy serving now, and God will show you your gifts. Get busy serving now, and God will show you your gifts. I think about some of my gifts. I'll be honest with you. I don't have one thing that I do not have, and you guys obviously know this, is I don't have the gift of music. Is that even a gift? I don't know. But you know, I am not gifted with my singing voice. You know, I believe that God has somebody that's going to come to our church that is gifted with that, and God is going to use them and place them here to help facilitate that ministry. There's some of you, I think about Miss Larice, you're great with teaching kids. And you know, as we continue to grow, you know what we're going to need? We're going to need to break up your Sunday school class. And we're going to need some more teachers that are going to come along and that will work with the kids. One day soon, we're praying about it, is a junior church and super church. We need somebody that's going to come along, and God is looking for those that are busy serving. Hey, I think about Wednesday nights, we're going to have a King's Kids program coming up here. And boy, looking forward to that. But you know what we need? We need folks that are busy serving God that say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not gifted with speaking. I think about Brother Dwayne. I asked Brother Dwayne a couple months ago if he would fill in and preach on a Wednesday night. He said, Pastor, that's not my gift of public speaking. And you know, but Brother Dwayne, you know, he sleeps in the back. That's his gift, right? And you know, I think about how we all have gifts. And as a body, we all ought to be looking how we can use these gifts for God's glory and for God's honor. And so Paul said, Timothy, let me remind you, the gifts that God's given you, the commitment that you have, the job and your responsibilities, you better make sure that you use them for God. It says, according to the prophecies which went before thee, he goes on in verse 18, he says, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We see number one. We see the charge. Paul said, Timothy, man, do what God's called you to do. He gives the warning at the end. He says that thou by them mightest war good warfare. How are we going to be used of God? Not only by not neglecting our gifts, but realize that our life is a war. It's not one battle. It's just not one, you know, skirmish. But folks, we're in a war. And I think about the long war we've been in with the terrorists. You know, when did it start? Back 2001, right? And man, it's 2016, 15 years we've been going after them. You know, I think about our Christian life. We are in a constant war. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, God does not want us to sit back and relax. He wants us to keep on going forward for God. Realize this evening that we are in a battle, and it's just not a sprint, but it's a war. Many Christians will run a sprint and then quit. You realize that? Many Christians will start out well. I jotted three names down here on the side of my notes. I went to Bible college with these three guys. I'm not going to name their names, but I was talking to my wife about them today. Three guys I went to Bible college with that have made shipwreck of their life. They are either sitting in jail, on their way to jail, or they are messed up, and boy, they're just a mess. Why? Because they started out good. And these guys, you know, I know one of them could preach, you know, great, you know, personality. But what happened? They failed to realize we're in a long war, and they just lived for the temporal, lived for the moment, and they made a shipwreck of their life. So we see, number one, the charge. Notice, second of all, as the story goes on, verse 19, he continues, he says this. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Notice number two, the choice that we must make. Oh, let me just say this real fast, going back to this, realizing that it's a war, not a sprint. I put this down, this man, great quote here, he said, to serve the Lord faithfully, you've got to realize that you're in it for the long haul, and it is not going to be easy. Some people get all excited about ministry, but they burn out. Others get excited until problems hit, and then they quit. Others bail out when they catch criticism, which you will. Others expect instant results. When it doesn't happen, they get bitter and they quit. When they run when the well runs dry. All of these problems could be solved if people would realize that the ministry to which God has called each one of us is a lifetime campaign against a powerful enemy. Note that Timothy's fight was against men who were in the church. That's usually where the battle is waged. I thought that was an appropriate statement. Timothy, the battle is waged, yes, against the enemy, but it's also against Hymenaeus and Alexander. So be faithful in the battle. So the charge in verse 18, notice second of all in verse 19, notice the choice that Timothy had to make, all right? I hear the charge. I hear what you're saying, Paul. Now he says, holding faith and a good conscience. Timothy had to make a choice. He had to make a decision. He had to make up his mind. Am I going to heed Paul's charge? What was the charge? To hold faith and a good conscience. He had to make the choice to own it. He had to make the choice to personalize it. He had to make the choice to cling to the Word of God. Let me say, church, we've got to, as I preached a couple months ago, we have got to come to the place where we buy the truth and sell it not. We've got to come to the place where we're not just going to inherit Bible truth, but we're going to own it. We're going to believe it. We're not going to swerve away from it. We're not going to compromise on it. We've got to come to a place where we own the truth. Paul said, holding faith. He said, you better cling to the doctrine of the Word of God. You better cling to salvation in Christ alone. You better not get sidetracked and get off course like all these other preachers. How many of us in Alexander and Demas and all these other preachers that started out well, but they got sidetracked on their little schisms and isms. You better make sure you hold the truth, you buy the truth, you hold the faith. What was he saying? He said, you better make the choice to know what you believe. Let me say, church, you better know why you believe what you believe. It's just not because Pastor Schwanky preaches it. You better get in the Word of God on a daily basis. Listen, you better read your Bible. You better study your Bible. You better memorize your Bible. You better write your Bible. You better study the doctrines of the Word of God. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Hey, ask me. I'll help you. Well, Chrissy will help you. We'd love to just help you go on for God. Listen, you've got to come to the place. I've got to come to the place where I own my faith. And it's just not some head knowledge, but something that I truly believe in my heart. You know, I believe a lot of times teenagers will go through a good Christian school. They'll go through a good youth group. Turn 18 or whatever the magic age is, and they'll drop completely out of church. You know why that is? Here's the reason why. Because they've never held that faith. They're clinging to mom and dad's faith. You know, it's like a, the cow that has that nose ring in there, you know, and they just pull that cow along. Is it a cow? I don't know what it is. But you've seen it. You know, you know about that nose ring, you just lead a cow along. You know, well, that's what they do. You know, wherever mom says, you know, it's like Christian robots, you know, we go to church. We sing the songs. We don't listen to this bad music. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We're doing it because that's what mom and dad expect of us, and they'd never own the truth. Hey, hold the faith, Timothy. Hold it. Grasp it. Understand it. Cling to it. Timothy, it's your responsibility. Paul already knew what he believed. He said, I'm not compromising. I've come too far to go back now. I love what a preacher friend of mine, I called him a couple days ago. I said, hey, preacher. I said, are you going to this meeting? I loved it. The old-time, probably 75-year-old pastor, Pastor Bill Gindelsberg in North Carolina. He said, nah. He said, I'm not going to that meeting. I said, how come? All the other preachers in the area are. He said, because you know what? I'm just too mean and grumpy, and I've taken a stand for too long. And he said, I'm not yoking up with that crowd, singing Kumbaya, and compromising on my belief. He said, I may be the only one that's not going. He said, but I'm standing where I've stood all these years ago. I like that. An old-time preacher that's holding the faith and saying, I'm not changing. Church, let me say, we're not changing. Huntsville Bible Baptist Church is not going different Bible. We're not going different music. We're not going the easy, you know, just come as you are entertainment act. No, we're sticking with the Word of God because we've been entrusted with the faith that God's committed to us. And though there's 318 Baptist churches in Huntsville and a bunch of other churches that don't have Baptists and whatever, just because there are churches all over the place doesn't mean we're going to be like them. We're going to stick with what God's called. So he said, holding the faith and a good conscience. So how are we going to make the choice? He made the choice to stay right. Men who teach false doctrine often do so to avoid the moral implications of God's truth in their own lives. Don't get sidetracked on some weird doctrine or teaching. Don't use one verse to explain your new revelation. Take the whole counsel of God's word and own it and let it balance your life and balance your faith. So number one, he said, you better own the truth. But he said, holding faith, and he said, a good conscience. Hey, listen, you want to stay right? You want to one day hear those words from Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Then you better have a good conscience. That means, you know what? My mind is void of offenses. I'm right with God. I'm right with people. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior, and there's nothing between, you know, somebody else. I need to make sure that I'm right with God and I have a good conscience. I wonder, is your conscience void of offenses? Is your life pure? Is your life holy? Is your life separated? Can you lay your head on your pillow knowing that you are right with God and right with others? Timothy, have a good conscience. Why? He says, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Shipwrecks. Hey, you know, we've only been here 5 months, 5.5 months almost now. You know, unfortunately, there's been some shipwrecks. You may not know about them, but I've dealt with some shipwrecks here in just 5 months. You know, I think about traveling. I'll be honest with you. When I traveled in evangelism, I dealt with pastors and youth pastors and leaders, church leaders a lot as I traveled. 700 churches we preached in. You know, I look out at the landscape now, and boy, you know what I see? I see some pastors that made shipwreck. I know deacons, Sunday school teachers, choir members, servants of God that had a heart for God. But what happened? They didn't keep on pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and they dropped out. And man, they're a mess now. Why? Because they did not keep on pressing forward for God. So Timothy, here's the charge. Here's the choice. You've got a choice to make. And then in verse number 20, notice the consequences for not holding on to the faith. He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander, it says over there in 2 Timothy 2:17, Paul said this he says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. It says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Paul said, listen, Alexander and these guys, Hymenaeus, they were in the church. Man, they were serving God. But what happened? Because they failed to hold the truth, because they failed to stay pure with God, Paul said, you know, I've delivered them unto Satan. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, from what I've studied on it, and from what I've gathered, when Paul was writing this, he was talking about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 5. Remember the story of 1 Corinthians. There was immorality, and there was just very immoral, all right? And Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, addressed the immorality, and he said there in 1 Corinthians 5:5, he said this regarding that individual. He said, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What was Paul doing when he said, I'm going to deliver them of Satan? Paul wasn't saying, hey, I'm throwing Hymenaeus and Alexander into hell. He wasn't saying, I'm sealing their eternity, but he kicked them out of the church. And that protection that the church provides was no longer the umbrella of which they were under. And what was the end result? The end result was that they may learn not to blaspheme. He delivered them to Satan. The consequences for not holding on to the truth is just a messed up life. When you and I violate the scriptures, when we say no to God's word, the end result is a messed up life. I think about my kids. I got four kids. You say, Pastor Schwanke, what keeps you clinging to the word of God? What keeps you listening to right music? What keeps you, you know, not watching the things you ought not watch? What keeps you, you know, standing right? I'll tell you what one of my big motivations, obviously, is the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think about my kids. You know, if I shipwreck my life, you know what that's going to impact? It's going to impact my four kids. It's going to impact others. You say, preacher, why should I stay right with God? Because your influence will affect others. And do you want your influence to be that of a destroyed, messed up Christian testimony? Or do you want your life to shine for Jesus Christ? So that way you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul wrote to Timothy. Why was he writing to Timothy? Why was he giving him this commission, this charge? Because the end result, the reason we engage in ministry is the end goal, is to one day hear our Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So can I encourage you tonight, child of God, church member, Christian, let's make sure we're engaged in the battle. Tomorrow when we get up to go to work, let's make sure that we hold the faith. That means, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get in our Bible. That means we're going to get on our knees and we're going to seek God's face. Why? Because we're engaged in a war. Just not a battle, just not a skirmish, but it's a long-term war. Let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that. All right, Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the reminder. Lord, we're in a battle. And sometimes battles are hard and brutal, and there's blood, guts, and gore. Lord, it's not fun. But Lord, I thank you for the promises of your word. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Lord, help us to engage in our charge. Lord, take it and understand it. And Lord, guard it. May we be faithful witnesses for you. May we be faithful in our service for you. Lord, help us to make an impact for you, because we realize the consequences is that of a destroyed and ruined life. So Lord, we want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take these truths. May they sink into our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, I want you to know that we love you. And we're excited about what God's doing. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. But here's what we're going to do. Something a little different tonight is Becky, if you would come on forward, and ladies, would you ladies come on down? All the, if you're a church member, if you're a visitor, you don't have to. But ladies, if God touches your heart, just come on down. Becky is getting ready. Come on over here, Becky. Becky has been coming to our church for the last about 3 months or so, and just been a wonderful, wonderful testimony for God and God's grace. And tomorrow she's starting chemotherapy, and we really just want God to just have His way and will in her life. And what we're going to do is we're as a group, as a church, what we're making, we're just making a commitment to let you know we're praying for you. And we want you to know that we love you and that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. But we just want to put our hands on you. And obviously, you know, we just want God's will to be done. So ladies, would you guys gather around this and let's just pray that God's will would be done. And obviously, we know that God's the great physician, and he's the one that can heal. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this evening. And Lord, thank you for Miss Becky. Lord, thank you for her love for you. Thank you for her passion for the things of God and her love for our church. Thank you for her faithfulness these last few months. And Lord, she's facing some battles this week. Lord, she's going to be going through the chemotherapy. And Lord, some of these ladies here have gone through that, and they know the pain that's involved with that. And we're just praying that you would intervene on her behalf. Lord, the Bible says that my grace is sufficient for thee. And I pray that she would claim those verses this week. Lord, I pray that as she struggles, and Lord, I pray that the word of God would be near and dear to her heart. And Lord, ultimately, I pray that she would let her light shine for you. Lord, you may allow her to go through this to witness to somebody sitting next to her. Lord, whatever it is, we just pray that you would be glorified and honored. And Lord, we're asking that you would heal her. Lord, we know your will be done, but we're asking that you would heal her. So please encourage her, comfort her, strengthen her. And Lord, I thank you so much for her faithfulness here to our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we love you and we're praying for you. And let's all stand together. Can we sing that song? And you ladies.